Thanks so much for tuning into this podcast, produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas. For more information on KUT programs and to support the station, go to KUT.org. And thanks again.
Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory isn't amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
isn't
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart
most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. It's a fundamental question in human existence. Why, in order to be productive, we get together and have meetings?
He's Art Markman, and he's Bob Duke.
And you're Rebecca McEnroy.
And this is Two Guys on Your Head.
I didn't get to say anything.
Today, what's up with four-hour meetings?
On the positive side, we are a social species, and we do get a fair amount done collaboratively. The problem is, the alternative to meetings is often the long memo in which somebody has some kind of crazy idea and they lay it out in 1,000 words that they expect everyone to read. And often there are issues that are laid out in those 1,000-word rambling memos that could have been dealt with actually more efficiently had everyone been face to face. And once it becomes a document, it takes on a life of its own.
But I think, speaking for myself and literally billions of other human beings, I can say pretty safely that if there's something that you could convey to me in writing, I'd rather not have to schlep somewhere to hear you tell me, And I think that's part of it. But there is, I think, this idea that you really can't trust people to read and understand what you send to them. So you need to bring them together so you can tell them face to face. And I think that happens a lot in places where the person who's convening the meeting, whatever their leadership role happens to be, feels like this is really important and I have to be sure everybody understands it. And if I just send it out, Art might not read it. Rebecca might
probably
not even get it.
Probably,
right. Art's never going to read it. But the problem is you have a diversity of people in the room. There are some people who, even with a 1,000-word memo, actually read the damn thing. And then they come to the meeting and say, wait a minute, you're going to read the memo to me? I read the memo. That's why you sent me the memo. But of course, Art, who doesn't read 1,000-word memos, he's hearing this for the first time. So the problem that makes this all worse is just the heterogeneity of who's in the room, right? You got all these different people coming in with different experiences and different expectations. Yeah. They're not going to respond the same way to a meeting.
And so in many ways, what we want to do in thinking about holding meetings is to figure out where is the social component that makes this matter.
Perfect.
And if you can't answer that question by finding a social component, don't have the meeting. Now, there are lots of social components that could be a part of this. It might be that we need to have a discussion and everyone needs to contribute, so we need to have a meeting. It might be that what we're trying to do is to create a unified sense of purpose as a group, in which case we might want to have a meeting as a group so that everyone is a part of that experience. But it's all about the social component. If it's purely to transmit information, as Bob was saying, and that information could be transmitted primarily through a written document or even a 2-minute video, then by all means, let people do it on their own time.
Yeah. And the other thing has to do with how long we schedule meetings,
right?
Because the thing is, there are a lot of things that can be completed in 5 or 10 minutes if we just get to it. But, it's funny, when you look at calendars, electronic calendars, they're in increments of time. There's a 15-minute time, there's a 30-minute time. And I think, I don't know if it's just laziness or whatever, but we feel like we have to fill that. We're going to have a meeting. Right. And especially if you're thinking, I'm going to bring people all the way here. I don't want to have them only here for 15 minutes. We should probably stay for at least 30 minutes or maybe an hour, and then I'll bring refreshments and we'll have noshes.
Lunch. It'll be all right.
when really, a lot of people just don't want to do that. Yeah. So it keeps coming back to the idea of what do you want to accomplish, and is it accomplishable efficiently with other people in the room?
So there are several constraints here that I think are important. Number one, if someone's just talking at you, you can only listen to that for about 20 minutes before your mind starts to wander, unless they are brilliant speakers. Mm-hmm. A second thing that's really important is we tend to remember approximately 3 independent things from any event that we're a part of in our lives. What that means is if you look at your meeting agenda and there are 9 things on that agenda and these are 9 distinct things that have nothing to do with each other, at the end of that meeting, everyone who attended will have been at a different meeting because they will all remember 3 different things. So if you want people unified in what they take away from a meeting, you have to focus yourself on about three things. And if you've got nine things that you need to get through, have three meetings or send a memo about the other six.
Right.
So with that said, though, I think people intuitively know that they're not being productive when they're sitting in these four-hour meetings. Why? Why do we keep going and participating in these meetings and not trying to change the structure?
I do think that we sometimes feel as though if we get everyone together and we have a good long meeting, that that somehow by itself is a signal of productivity. There are two things that need to happen at the end of every meeting. One is a summary of the key points to help everybody remember what they accomplished over the course of that meeting. And the second is a real plan at the end of it for who has responsibility to move things forward. And everyone at the end of the meeting should know what their responsibilities are at the level of knowing when they're supposed to have something done. And honestly, if you have a meeting for which nobody needs to have anything done after the meeting is over, you didn't need to have the meeting.
And of course, what Art is emphasizing with this idea about people having an action plan is that, again, it gives you information and the meeting attendees information about whether the meeting has served a purpose or not, right? Because I will know because this will be done.
When there are meetings that are repeatedly unproductive, I think that finding judicious ways to have discussions about how to make meetings more productive and being proactive, not in complaining, but in trying to make positive suggestions. What are some of the things that I can do that will make the time that we spend a more productive time? You know, would it be okay if I wrote out summaries of the meetings and even presented that summary at the end to do the kinds of things that really create a better meeting culture rather than just griping about it?
Next week with Two Guys on Your Head, we'll talk about road rage with Drs. Art Markman and Bob Duke. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys, go to KUT.org and follow us on Twitter. We're at @2GOYH. We'd love to know what you think about the show and find out what you're curious about. Email us anytime at twoguys@KUT.org. Two Guys on Your Head is produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas. For KUT, I'm Rebecca McEnroy.